Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The SEC. Sounds of the game.
Running back Damien. They fake it to him. Everybody's covered. Tua now delays. Loads up. Has a man behind the D. Opening drive. Opening passes. And a touchdown. Jerry Jeudy. 81 yards. Hello. We've seen this script before.
From the 1 yard line of the Bulldogs, Burrow trying to keep it, follows behind Cushenberry, waiting for the signal. Touchdown, Tigers! Joe Burrow with his second rushing touchdown of the day, and the Tigers make it 25-9.
Franks gives it off to Scarlett. Right side run, beautiful, second level, 30, right side 20, 15, 10, 5.
SEC Sounds of the Game.
Third down and 11 at the Auburn 26-yard line. Garantano fakes a handoff, looks, fires long, end zone. Pass is bobbled and then caught. Juwan Jennings gets it in the back corner of the end zone. And there's a penalty flag down back where Garantano threw it. But just another perfect throw by Jarrett Garantano. The long arching pass to Juwan Jennings in the back corner of the end zone. He comes down with it, and if it stands, Tennessee's going to take the lead.
Second back through is Williams. T. Will towards the goal line. Trevion Williams is so close. He's in for an Aggie touchdown.
Phillips again. He's in, and the Rebels have the lead on a 5-yard touchdown run.
Some of the sounds of SEC football on a Falcons Monday. SEC Sounds of the Game brought to you by Kroger. Before you head to the game, head to Kroger for fresh ways to feed your football fans. Back at the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on this Falcons Monday. Winning Falcons Monday at that as the Falcons take out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. More on that coming up in 20 minutes. Dave Archer will join us live, so don't go anywhere. Get Archer's thoughts on this win and what we do now from this, how the team builds off this, and hopefully cross your fingers, you know, we'll start seeing some positive news on the injury front. And today that would start with updates on Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, and Matt Bryant. But let's talk a little bit about college football. An upset-filled Saturday, Hugh. You had LSU beat Georgia. You had Oregon beat Washington. West Virginia fell and lost and became one of the unbeatens to fall, and they lost by 16 points to Iowa State. Penn State lost to Michigan State. Auburn fell to Tennessee. How about Tennessee's victory over Auburn down on the plains for the Tennessee Volunteers?
Yeah, that was pretty big. Now that means that Auburn's probably dead in the water. As a matter of fact, they were talking about firing the coach. There were a lot of people talking about buying out Coach Malzahn, basically. But I think he just signed for like what, $33 million or something like that. His buyout is pretty hefty.
Oh yeah, it'll be
pretty. I know it's pretty. I know. I don't know if it's $33 million, but I do know that his buyout is pretty hefty. Because I know Auburn fans were mad at the fact that the way that they lost this weekend.
You know, they're 1-3 in conference play suddenly and 4-3 overall. So, yeah, the season's kind of slipped away from Auburn. But it doesn't mean that they can't have a dramatic impact. Remember this for Auburn, even though they're 4-3 and it's been disappointing for them to have done this and be out of the race and they are a non-factor in the race and they're not going to have any shot at the college football playoff, they still have to play both Alabama and Georgia, Hugh, so they could have – You want to talk about the ultimate spoiler? That's Auburn. I mean, LSU's already started. I would say that LSU's been playing spoiler, but really they're not anymore. Considering where they are, LSU's not playing spoiler. LSU's thinking SEC championship and national championship. That
upset.
Is not spoiler.
They're thinking upset. They got to get it done, though. You know, the Alabama's looming, so they have to get that done. They look pretty good, man. I think the one that's looking at being a spoiler is Florida. Because all of a sudden, now Florida's looking at it like, hey, you know, they're having dreams of what they used to be. And that has been the mantra ever since, who did they beat a couple weeks ago?
LSU. Home?
Yeah. Thank you. I forgot. Completely slipped my mind. Ever since they beat LSU, they've been having dreams of glory days back when Tim Tebow was back there balling. So yeah, they could be the ones that could surprise a lot of people, and Kentucky, because nobody's really talking about Kentucky that much right now, but me. But they could definitely make some noise.
Well, Florida, Georgia tied for the lead in the East. Kentucky is just a half game back. All of these teams are only one loss teams, so it's a 3-team race between Georgia, Florida, and Kentucky in the East. And Georgia has to play both of those teams still to come. Now Kentucky already has a bit of an upper hand because remember they've already beaten Florida. So Kentucky controls its own destiny at this point, maybe more so than even Georgia and Florida in that regard. So it'll be interesting to watch this come down to the wire in the East. In the West, of course, it's all about Alabama and LSU, though Texas A&M still kind of hanging around a little bit, but it's really about Alabama and LSU, and the showdown between the winner of the Alabama-LSU game is going to be in the SEC championship game. Winner Florida-Georgia isn't going to be guaranteed to be in the championship game. I will say this, if Georgia does beat Florida in 2 weeks in Jacksonville, Georgia still controls its own destiny.
Yeah.
Georgia wins out, they're going to be in the
playoff.
But the
good thing about it, you get to see Florida, who is nipping at your heels, and Kentucky. You get to see them right back-to-back. You get to see them back-to-back. So they are still – what Coach Smart said in the press conference is it holds true. So everything that they potentially want is still in front of them. They can, but they're going to have to run the table. And the biggest test is going to be that three-week stretch. And they've already had injuries on the defensive side of the ball where they got Florida, Kentucky, and Auburn. And you know what? To be totally honest, that Georgia Tech game might be luminous. Georgia Tech might come to play. You never know.
They always do in Athens,
yeah,
it seems.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, they won the last two times they've been to Athens,
yeah,
right?
You never know.
I mean, you don't ever know. I mean, this is why it's going to be, you know, interesting for Georgia to see how they respond to this, Hugh. This is, they responded really well last year. Let's not forget, late in the season, they went down to Auburn. Auburn was beating everybody, it seems. They played very poorly at Auburn. And then got it together and turned it around. I mean, this is still a talented football team. I'm still like, you know, a lot of Georgia fans, and I'm not a Georgia fan, but a lot of Georgia fans are questioning is whether or not Kirby Smart should have gone to Justin Fields. And I see what they were saying because I was sort of surprised as things started to slip away a little bit that they didn't go to Justin Fields more often than they did.
I thought they would. I mean, and that's me just looking at the game and listening to like tweeting Georgia fans and they're saying, oh, well, you know, not really concerned about it until the clock started to tick away. Until you realize that they kind of got away from the run game a little bit too early and then came back to it in the third quarter with Elijah Holyfield when he got his touchdown. So it was one of those things, John, where you're going back and you listen to what Coach Smart said about a spark. And it was clear to me at that point that this team needed some kind of spark. And that's why I thought they would go to him more. But they didn't. They didn't go to him as much as I thought they would in that situation.
And now they have 2 weeks to sulk about it because Georgia doesn't play this week. It's their bye week. It's their off week. And so they're going to have to let this fester for 2 weeks until they get down to Jacksonville to take on the Florida Gators. As for Georgia Tech, it all collapsed on them in about a minute and a half. That game with Duke went from 7-7 to 28-7 in a heartbeat. And Georgia Tech, what's odd, Hugh, is that I thought watching that game, Georgia Tech played pretty well, especially on defense, because St. Amour was a one-man wrecking crew.
He's starting to get comfortable at that D-tackle spot. I mean, that was one of the guys that Coach Johnson told us to look for this season. He's starting to get comfortable in that new 3-4 system that they're running out.
I mean, he's looking like an NFL caliber player, and he just ate Duke alive. And yet Georgia Tech put the ball on the ground and put the ball on the ground and put the ball on the ground, and Duke was just taking advantage of everything all over the place. As a result, they were able to get three quick touchdowns and put that game away, and so Georgia Tech falls to 3-4. In what has been a very disappointing season for Paul Johnson, no question about it, because, you know, he even thinks that, you know, this team could be better than it is because he's, you know, they scored 60. They've had the 600-yard game against South Florida. There are times where their offense just clicks, and then against Duke, it just went stale. They couldn't do anything. And I don't think Duke was doing anything special. I mean, they were blowing up plays, but at the same time, it was just like no execution whatsoever.
One of those teams that is better equipped to stop the wishbone than others. Some teams are better equipped than that because you have a faster guys up front. You got guys that can scrape, and they're disciplined players. They know their assignments. That's one of the ways you can stop the triple option is knowing your assignment and know who you have when they start to run it.
College Football Notebook is brought to you by Dixie Vodka. It is football season. That means tailgating, and a true Southern tailgate isn't complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America and by God, raised in the South. So all the upsets that happened this week have reorganized the top 10. Alabama gets 60 of the 61 first-place votes. Ohio State moves up to number 2. Clemson at number 3. Notre Dame at number 4. LSU at 5. Michigan up to number 6. How about maybe the most surprising thing, Texas to number 7. Remember Texas lost that opening game to Maryland? They were calling for Tom Herman's head, and suddenly Texas is number 7 in the nation. Georgia drops to number 8, Oklahoma at 9, and Central Florida, which is one of the 8 unbeatens, in at 10. Florida, by the way, in at number 11 this week. Just looking at the top 10, right now if the playoffs ended today, it would be Alabama against Notre Dame and Ohio State against Clemson. I don't know about you, Hugh. Notre Dame 7-0. I am still not buying Notre Dame. I watched some of their game against Pittsburgh. They are just
everybody likes Notre Dame, though, John. We were talking about this last week. But isn't it amazing how, like, we were talking about all these potential teams that would definitely be in contention. The undefeateds, and what, 4 of them lost this weekend? Mm-hmm. One of them was Colorado,
3 of them, yeah.
Georgia.
And West Virginia.
It was 3 of them, excuse me. 3 teams lost this weekend. So it does a great job of taking care of itself. The college football playoffs take care of themselves. Now, and with the – no, you know what I think? Because UCF was on the ropes against Memphis.
And managed to pull that one out. Yeah,
managed to pull that out. So, yeah, it's one of those things where it's going to work itself out. Don't worry too much about it. And this UCF stuff that people are talking about, how they should be there, it'll work itself out.
Well, it is really interesting to look, though, at some of the teams up there because, I'm not a Notre Dame hater. I'm not a fan of the Irish, but I'm not one of those. I hate – I'm not. To me, they're just bad. They're there. And so if you're a Notre Dame fan, I'm not slamming you or anything. I'm just saying that that's a pretty soft 7-0 team. I think you might think it's pretty good. Boy, that's a team that's this close to being 4-3. And
yeah, but people like them. And that alone, John, will probably be what gets them in. If it stays status quo like it is now, they'll probably get in. I know we were talking last week about
unbeaten,
everything. Yeah,
no.
And that was all predicated on whether or not Georgia remained unbeaten. So they'll probably get in. With Georgia falling, they'll probably get in. It'll probably be safe to say that it probably won't be 2 SEC teams this year.
Oh, it's not going to be 2 SEC.
No, I don't think it's going to be 2 SEC teams this year. So Notre Dame has a legit shot now.
Yeah, because, see, LSU is going to have to play Alabama. The only way it could be 2 SEC teams that I can see right now is for last year to repeat itself this year. And that the Florida-Georgia winner runs the table, ends up 11-1 in Atlanta, okay, and then wins the SEC championship game, goes to 12-1 and gets in, and the LSU beats Alabama, okay, in like overtime, makes it to Atlanta, loses to, say, Georgia in the SEC title game, and Alabama, just like last year, is sitting out here at 11-1 with 1 overtime loss to LSU. That would be the way it would happen. And it's the only way it could happen. The odds of that happening are very slim, but it could, I guess. I mean, I don't see it happening, but it could. And this setting up, though, the coming down the stretch, remember, we've only played 7 games. There is still another 6 games for most of these teams to go. So we're barely halfway through the college football season, and some of those games include, look at LSU as the number 5 team in America. They'll have to face Alabama, plus the SEC title game. Michigan at number 6, they'll have to play number 2 Ohio State. How large is that game starting to loom, Michigan-Ohio State? Now, Michigan's got to play Michigan State this week, and Michigan State has been that team this year. They've been kind of ugly. I mean, they knocked off Penn State in an ugly win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Penn State has been having trouble back-to-back weekends with Ohio State and Michigan State. I think they did the same thing last year. Same thing happened to him last year. But this Michigan State game is looming large. You look at the LSU situation that they're in. You got Alabama, then you got Arkansas. Then you got a little bit of a rest with Rice. No disrespect to anybody that went to Rice. And then you got Texas A&M, who has been playing well. So LSU is not out of the woods as far as what they have to do if they do knock off Alabama.
Right, man. No doubt about that.
Yeah, so it's like it's going to take care of itself. That's the beautiful part about this.
They also can't overlook Mississippi State. That's always a
yeah, and that's this week, you know.
Oh,
right?
You know what? I'm sorry. And you know what I did, AT? I did overlook Mississippi State. I went straight to Alabama. So you're right. You can't overlook Mississippi State.
Going to be a lot of twists and turns before we get to the championship game at Levi's Stadium in San Jose. All right, it's time for you to win $1,000.
$1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
snow. What did they have in Denver yesterday for the Rams and Broncos? Snow. For those of you in Ackworth, snow is white stuff falls from the sky when it's cold. It's spelled S-N-O-W. Snow to 72881. Snow to 72881. Message data rates do apply. Do not text and drive. Rolls
boy, that's why I do not miss living up north, boy. That snow is real. Like, can you imagine, like, if being, say, like, in Philadelphia, New York this week, how cold it is? And it's probably no snow or nothing on the ground, but it's pretty chilly.
It's going to be 80 here today. 80. Yeah,
I'll take that all day.
On October the 15th, 80. Snow in Denver yesterday, 25 and snow, and the Rams still managed to win that game. Snow to 72881. I happen to remember last year that big snowstorm we had December the 8th.
What big snowstorm?
That 8-incher.
We had 8 inches here in Atlanta?
Yeah, last December the 8th.
Where was I?
I don't know.
Here? You were here. I don't remember that. Did it cripple the city?
Yes.
That, we stayed that, in the hotel.
You know what,
here.
Y'all? Okay, I get it because that was a big snowstorm, y'all. That wasn't a big deal.
Get out of here, Hugh Douglas.
I didn't stay in a hotel, so you know. And plus, I drive a man's vehicle. I drive a truck, so you know. There's that. Shots fired.
$75 off a set of new tires at Kaufman Tire today because the Falcons score touchdowns at three quarters. Today, only $75 off any Kaufman Tire store for a set of four new tires. KaufmanTire.com. Kaufman Tire, official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Next, Dave Archer live.
Monday. Everybody got to lock in right now.
Our Falcons play here.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game from the Kia Studios. Falcons will have next Sunday off, and they'll get a 36-hour extra period of time, hopefully, to get healthy, because their next game will be a week from tonight at home against the New York Giants. Falcons Monday continues with Dave Archer. We welcome Dave Archer into the program on the WadeFord.com hotline this morning. Talk about that Falcons win and what it means for the Falcons season so far.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Pretty good. Hey, Dave, I'll tell you what, it's always good to talk about a win, man. I tell you that first and foremost. But off the top, what was the biggest area of improvement did you see in last Sunday's game?
Yeah, I thought that, first of all, I think you guys have been talking about it. Continue to have guys get banged up and do other players rise to the occasion. And I thought there were, some complementary parts on offense, whether you talk about Russell Gage coming in, who made a really good play on a design play to get him the ball, and who would have thought to get one of your gunners in the game, you're going to try to get him the ball to get a first down, but got a good block from Justin Hardy, as you pointed out, John, and Marvin Hall, and Justin Hardy had a big catch late in the game as well. So I think that the guys answering the call was the funnest part about it. There's still a lot of work to do defensively. They've got a real problem in a couple of positions. Ooh, they just don't necessarily have a guy that can play a certain position, and so they're going to have to kind of do the Band-Aid thing. But I thought they played hard, and I thought their level of play, probably I thought they played a lot harder on defense and a lot more with a lot more attention to detail. Even though they gave up some plays, I thought they were hustling and trying to get to the ball, which created a couple of turnovers. And I thought that the turnovers were big because those are plays where Tampa was going in to try to score, and you were able to take the ball away from them.
There's no question about that. And that's what kind of really helped you out. That's what that defense needed yesterday was some big plays, and they got it.
Yeah, I mean, the Duke Riley, who's much maligned for tackling and all that stuff, Duke does a great job of carrying the vertical down there close in the red zone and gets in the way of Godwin. They're trying to get the ball to Godwin. Ball pops in the air, and then Poole comes up with a pick. And then really good read by KZ playing in the back end. Poor decision by Winston to try to shove it down the seam because KZ was tracking the ball all the way. And Devontae's become quite a ball hawk. He was a ball hawk in college. He had 14 or 15 interceptions in college, and he's really carried that over to now that he's playing. If the ball's in his area, he's going to go get it.
Talking with Dave Archer about the Falcons' win over Tampa Bay and what it means. Falcons snap their three-game losing skid, go to 2-4, but 2-1 in the division. Matt Ryan, I want you to talk a little bit about Matt Ryan. We mentioned 12 touchdowns and no interceptions his last four games. He has been putting up MVP-like numbers in an MVP-type season when everything else seems to be falling in and around him. As you talked about, Dave, at various times yesterday, having to use the backup receiving core, and yet he still puts up these kind of numbers and leads like that late drive at the end of the first half. He has been tremendous on an otherwise not tremendous season.
Well, John, you're right. I thought Matt played yesterday. There was, if you like good quarterback play, both the quarterbacks I thought played really well. I thought Jameis played pretty solid as well. But Ryan made some throws yesterday that only guys with that high level of IQ, understanding, being able to do the math equation in his mind as to letting the ball go early with air because I can't hold it any longer. I've got people breathing down my neck, and I've got to somewhat guess but also kind of rely on what we've done in practice to know what angle to throw the ball on so I can get the ball to Jones or to Ridley or to Sanu or any of those other guys you're talking about. I just thought that he made some plays yesterday. There was one in the fourth quarter he made to Jones where he threw the ball. Julio was two steps from coming out of his break, but Ryan knew that he had to get it out, and he got it out. He threw it with some touch and some air, so Jones, when he got out of the break, he could get his eyes around and find the ball and be able to catch it. He just made a number of throws like that yesterday. And, yeah, the numbers, when you look at it, 31 to 41 is phenomenal, three touchdowns, 350 yards. But he made some key throws, the scramble he makes on third down to run for the first down. I just think that the guy is trying to sell completely out for his team. He's trying to do everything he can possibly do, and that includes standing in and taking shots to try to get the ball down the field. And you're right, John. I think he's playing at a really high level. If our record was better, everybody would be talking about Matt Ryan as one of the top players in the league.
We're talking with Dave Archer on the WayForward.com hotline on a Falcons Monday. Hey, Dave, to that end, with all the players banged up, what we have seen over the last couple of weeks, 9 catches last week, 9 catches more this week for Austin Hooper, he has really elevated his game. It seems that all that work that he and Matt Ryan did in the offseason really starting to pay dividends. Are we seeing in front of our eyes the growth of Austin Hooper?
Certainly looks like it, John. I've really been impressed with the way Hoop really worked in the offseason, the dedication he put in, and then the conviction he came in to the season with. A lot of people wanted to give up on Hooper. There's a lot of guys that, even on this our radio station that we do the games on, guys that do shows every day, had given up on Austin Hooper. But he hadn't given up on himself, and neither had Matt Ryan, nor had the team. So just goes to show you guys can improve from year to year. It's only in his third year. But we're seeing yesterday, I thought, John, he made catches that kind of brought back memories of Tony Gonzalez. Tight catches in tight situations, big catches. That third down he makes in the fourth quarter, not any bigger than that one. With the tight coverage, guy draped all over his back, makes the catch right along the first down line. And then his ability, his athleticism, I think it's undersold. His ability to catch the football, his head back towards the backfield, and then get his head around in time to make a DB miss in the flat and step into the end zone. He's just played at a high level, and certainly the last couple of weeks have been big time.
Talking with Dave Archer about the Falcons' win over Tampa. Falcons the only team in the NFC South to win on Sunday because the Saints didn't play and Carolina lost, and obviously Tampa lost because the Falcons beat them. So, Dave, just at large here, when you look at the team at 2-4, 2-1 in the division, what they've been able to do, I'm impressed. Really, I know that a lot of fans have been very upset with the coaching, but I'm really impressed with how they managed to piece this all together. There are a lot of teams that would be in a far worse position emotionally. I know that they got a little contentious in practice last week, but emotionally or internally or even in the standings, for all of the trials and tribulations they've had to go through, that Dan Quinn has been able to hold them together, keep them focused, and that 5 of the 6 games have come down to the final play. It either did or did not bounce your way. I'm actually fairly impressed with where they sit right now. I know that sounds weird to people saying, they're screaming in their cars saying, John, they're 2-4, but 2-4 compared to what? I mean, they could have been in a lot worse position.
Well, I'm proud of the way they've competed, John, and I think that, the Q and his staff deserve a lot of credit for hanging in there and trying to find things they can do because they're playing completely undermanned on one side of the ball. And then they've got to play at an excellent level on offense to kind of compensate for that. But give a lot of the leaders on his team, there's a lot of lip service paid to the brotherhood and how who they are as a group and all that kind of stuff. But you don't. The only way you get through these kind of times, and Hugh will tell you now, he's played on some teams where you get guys banged up and there's not, you don't have all your weapons out there. The only way you get through it is you believe in one another and pick each other up. And that's what they've done. And that's probably been the most impressive thing. So I'll give the coaching staff a lot of credit for trying to design and come up with stuff. But give the guys that are still in there, the leaders on that team, the Ryans, Devondre Campbell, those guys that are still on the field that are still playing. DeMonte Casey's really stepped up big in a leadership role. Those guys have kept the brotherhood what it is and keeps them in the mix. They got a lot of work to do, and they've got a long road to hoe because they have no margin for error.
Is it safe to say, Dave, that you think that with the division being what it is, with the NFC being what it is, that this team still has a legit shot? They could probably make it to the playoffs. Do you think that can happen?
Well, they certainly can make it in. I mean, you can make a case mathematically where they can do all the stuff. They just got to go take care of business one game at a time. The old cliche, but yeah, they're still in it. And you're going to remember on the horizon is Grady Jarrett potentially returning soon, and Deion Jones at the beginning of December is going to come off of IR. So you're going to get the leader of your defense back on the field. So I think if you can kind of hold the rope a little bit defensively and still can play at a high level on offense, yeah, there's no question you got a chance to get in there.
Now we hold our breath on Matt Bryan, and not enough can be said. That kick yesterday was absolute money. It was phenomenal.
Well, it was a great kick, a ballsy call by Coach Quinn. I've been interesting to see had Coleman gotten to fourth and one if they would have gone for it as opposed to kicking the field goal. But because of the loss of a yard making it fourth and four, he turns to Matt Bryan, and there's been nobody more clutch than Matt Bryan. I'm crossing my fingers. It did not look good in the game after the game with a hamstring injury, and he's an older player. Hugh can tell you we don't recover quite as well as we get older, but let's hope he can find a way to get healthy. But what a kick, and just kind of encapsulates who Matt Bryan is.
Yeah, and of course the New York Football Giants await next Monday night at Mercedes-Benz. Dave, thanks for taking a few minutes. Do appreciate.
You got it. Good to be with you guys.
You're the man.
Dave Archer on the WadeFord.com hotline. When we get back on this Falcons Monday, this winning Falcons Monday, we venture into that area of the show known as Hughes World.
Yes, well, I've already spent my lottery winnings. You know, since I'm a winner's lottery, I started looking at some places that I would like to visit when I win my winnings. So this is one place that I like to visit, and I'm going to tell you more about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons Monday. Falcons Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our Atlanta United play here.
You know, I think when you're battling.
Falcons game on Falcons Monday.
You have to root them on.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind
of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
Yes, what I'm doing right now, John, for you see me, I'm getting ready to play my lottery numbers because I got a feeling that I'm about to win this thing. I do. I just don't know. It's going to be either the Powerball or the Mega Millions. I just don't know which one the man upstairs is going to bestow upon me.
Do you play the same set of numbers for both?
No, I just do the quick pick. Do the quick pick, and that's what I do. I do the quick pick.
So they're not really your numbers. They're the computer generated.
Why are you making this so hard, John Freaky? Why you have to be the guy to make this so hard? These are just numbers that I pick randomly. I ain't got time to be trying to figure out which numbers to pick and all this other stuff. I ain't got time for that.
Hugh, let the computer pick your dream. It's fine.
Yeah, well, of course.
It doesn't matter. It's money if you win. You know what? It doesn't matter
dreaming
how you got
all
there.
Morning.
Hey, listen. I'm not going to let y'all deter me from this because I won $4 already. It's just a matter of time.
How are you
it's only
spend
a matter
that?
Of time. It's just a matter of time, haters. Before I win.
Haters.
Where's that big $4 going?
It's only a matter of time, haters. Before I win it all.
No, I want you to win it. What do you mean, haters?
Yeah, but this is, okay, y'all get me sidetracked now. because I've been looking at some of the trips that I'm going to potentially take.
And you're dreaming
after
big.
After I win this lottery. Okay. You got to speak it into existence.
All
you
got
to speak it into existence.
Where are we going, Hugh?
So I found this museum that's in, it's a place called Malmo, Sweden. And this museum is unique because it's the Museum of Disgusting Food. And the reason why I want to go there because, yes, it's disgusting food.
And
instead of getting like a ticket, when you go to this museum, you get a vomit bag. You get a bag because some of this food. I'm going to spare you all. Look at everybody's uncomfortable.
I'm going to spare you
some of the gory details about some of this food.
Thank you.
I'm going to spoil you. I'm just going to give you the names, but I'm not going to give you the details. Like some of this food is like really unique. And the reason why they're bringing light to this is because they're just trying to show you how different cultures view different things. Stuff that we might view. Are you going to let me finish before you start going
in? No, I'm just wondering what you put into Google to find this museum of disgusting.
When I tell you, people send these things to me.
Oh.
It was either this or the story I might do tomorrow about the strippers in the funeral home. Every time I say AT.
Oh, no, we have a John Michaels victory song tomorrow. Thank goodness.
And the strippers in the funeral homes. But AT doesn't want me to do that story. But this museum has something in it. It's called Casa Marku. And it's really, really interesting what it is. And it's another thing called century eggs. I can tell you what they are. They're basically fermented eggs that there's a delicacy in Japan where people like to eat these eggs that have been like, they've been sitting around for a while.
Good.
Yeah, it's pretty. And they have certain wines that they have at this disgusting food museum that if you saw, just look it up. Disgusting
Mm-mm.
foods. If you look it up, you would be surprised. I'm going to spare you everybody the details. But it was a few things on there that had me wondering about this museum. Number one, they had spam on there.
Spam's not disgusting.
Spam's not disgusting, but that's the point of this museum, John Freaky, is that it just shows you how different cultures view different things. Now, they had pork on one of the menus as a disgusting food because, you know, everywhere else, even though pork is one of the most widely consumed meats in the world.
Bacon's?
Yes.
No.
It's on the list. Yes, it's at the Disgusting Food Museum. They have pork because some people view pork as, you know, the pig as a sacred animal. So they had that one on there as a disgusting food. I've never had this before, John, but I have a sneaking suspicion that you probably have.
Oh.
And this is not me trying to pigeonhole you or anything, but Jell-O salad. Have you ever had Jell-O salad?
Where the fluff and all that kind of stuff, you know?
You've had it before.
I've seen it. So, I may have tried it once.
Worst.
It's disgusting.
So I was right.
Like with pineapples.
I was right.
Yeah, that's
awful. I wish somebody would put some Jell-O salad in front of me. They had caviar.
Oh.
Caviar.
I like caviar.
Yeah, they had caviar as one of the disgusting foods.
Oh, man.
And this is the one that really got me.
Is caviar.
Root beer. I don't know who in their right mind
would
put root beer in a disgusting
museum. I had root beer at the movie the other night. I had some Barg's root beer.
Yeah, they have some disgusting food, though, man. They have some stuff that's at this museum. I guess you can try it if you want to. They have fermented soybeans. That people like to eat. And it's weird because when you look at the fermented soybeans, and that's not the name of it, but that's just the description I'm going to give you. It looks like beans that they're sticky. Like it has a pungent smell from what I read, and it's really, really sticky.
Isn't that what they make soy sauce out of, is fermented soybeans?
I did not know that, John Freaky. Now you're saying something new every day. I did not know that.
That's what I thought. I don't know. I may be wrong. I just can't see. To tell the real estate maven, if she wins it, hey, honey, let's go to Malmo, Sweden to the discussion. Because if I say to her, where do you want to go? That ain't going to be it.
Yeah, but it's interesting, John, because y'all could try. They have a wine. They have a unique wine there.
But we're not going.
At the museum. That's very, very unique. Wendy's lab. Did you look it up, Wendy?
I refuse to look it up because I don't want to see.
Well, they have
two
different kinds of wine.
Mm-hmm.
They have a wine that's called a baby mouse wine. And if you use your imagination.
Oh, my God.
Yes. You can use.
No.
And they have a wine I guess the best way I could describe this, because there might be kids in the car. Member wine. It's a member wine. And it's called a three-member wine where you could try that. It's made from three different members of a group of members that nobody's getting.
Okay, we're good. Yep, we're good, Hugh.
that nobody's getting.
Nope, we are good.
Yes,
I'm just saying,
somebody in the car caught it. Somebody got it. But yeah, it's a wine. They have different wines that you can taste that are made out of these products.
You're not going there, are you?
I want to go see. I want to get the barf bag.
Yeah, you're going to go in there.
That's why you would go to Sweden.
You're gonna go, no, he's going to go there I'm gonna in go his barf flatulence bag. Underwear, and it's going to be...
They're called Shreddies. They're called Shreddies.
And
you know what? While you're playing, somebody out there looked up a pair of Shreddies from my voice alone. They heard it on this radio station, and they ordered a pair of Shreddies. Now, they might not admit that,
but
they ordered a pair.
When I win the lottery, my first thing is I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to get, like, the top floor at Encore, you know, like the suites, like six suites at Encore, and I'm going to call up all my friends and say, hey, jump on a plane, you know, and have a party. That's what I'm going to do.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to travel a little bit. I'm going to probably travel a lot. I'll take these 2 week vacations that I have, and I'm going to travel with that. That's why I haven't taken my vacation. Just waiting to win this lottery. Just waiting to win this lottery.
You don't take your vacation. They're going to say no.
Then I'm going to go to Malmo, Sweden.
You got to use it before the year's up, Hugh.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Malmo, Sweden.
Good luck with that. It's October 15.
Get this barf bag and get me some root beer, some Jell-O salad, and make me a Spam sandwich with some member wine.
All right. Hey, by the way, did you know you can get $75 off a set of four new tires today at Kaufman Tire? I don't know how we're going to segue to that. I'm just going to do it. KaufmanTire.com for the retailer nearest you. Falcons score touchdowns in three quarters. $75 off a set of four new tires. I'm just moving on. Kaufman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Hey, want to hear from you at 404-741-0929. Your chance to win. Jump in. How do you feel about all these close games? Do you love it? Do you like it only when we win, or do you hate it because it's too stressful? Give us a call and let us know. It's our poll question of the day, and we want to talk to you about that at 404-741-0929. Plus, after the sounds of the game coming up at the top of the hour, what Julio had to say about this win. It's all ahead on a winning Falcons Monday with John and you on Sports Radio. Oh, dude, that's disgusting. Don't show me that. On Sports Radio 92 of the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.